listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hola, mi amigos. It's Bob Dean from The Bob Dean Show. Yay. Coming to you from my palatial Santa Monica apartment, which is really not my Santa Monica apartment, as you very well know. I love staring at myself on this monitor because I can see the fabulous bags under my eyes and my turkey neck. I'm thinking about, ladies and gentlemen, starting a whole new trend. I'm going to shave the beard and let it grow down the turkey neck, sort of like a mullet in the 80s. Anyway, the topic around the country, besides Donald Trump, is the heat. It's just killing us everywhere here in Los Angeles, or, you know, on the other side of the pass. We're in the high 90s, and that's pretty high for us, and the humidity level is pretty uncomfortable. But our guest today, the fabulous Jennifer Diamond, who is calling from Fort Lauderdale, the heat and humidity there are like 100 times worse than here, which is, you know, not the point of our talk today. We're going to talk to Jennifer. Jennifer, you can call in today to 323-203-0815. To LA Talk Radio, Sam, my producer and friend, is going to handle the calls, and you can ask Jennifer a question, and she will give you psychic answers. Jennifer, hello.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
You're always so zesty. How you doing, Val?
I'm just fabulous. Yeah, it is hot here. It was 100 degrees yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And with the humidity,
100 degrees and humidity is horrible.
See, that's just that's the one thing that we all, you know, you lived in Los Angeles for so long. And what's weird, Jenny, is that the humidity here is really heavy for us, because normally there's like zero, and yeah, it's maybe probably a quarter of what you guys are experiencing. But it's just strange to even have it. And I know I lived in Fort Lauderdale in Miami for many years, and boy, that just blows, that humidity. But your hair is holding up great.
That's because I haven't left the house. I was painting all day, doing that painting. So staying inside, it's the same as like growing up in Buffalo when it had 20 feet of snow out. You stayed in the house because it was too cold. Now I stay in the house because it's too hot.
It's too hot. You have a pool?
Yeah, I do have a pool. See. Pretty much, I would say 98% of homes in Florida have pools.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. That's why I'm coming to visit. Because the one thing I miss, you know, growing up and everywhere in Pennsylvania and Tennessee, and then moving to Florida, I always had a swimming pool. You know, the family did, and I did in my apartment. And that's the one thing I can't believe I've lived this long in this apartment, which I love. But there's no pool.
Pretty much, I would say 98%.
You got to lay around and drink your pina coladas with Myers rum.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say.
Well, I'll be in Los Angeles on Sunday, so I'll be out there for a week. Yeah, I gotta get out of the heat. Doing the mother-daughter bonding time.
We need to get Seca and go to dinner or something like that, our friend Seca. Hey, Seca, I hope you're watching. Well, no, she's at the office today.
She's at her calling. Yeah.
Okay, so you ready to try and take some calls? Ladies and gentlemen, this is our first call-in episode, so thank you very much. I hope that the publicity that I've given us
Sunday
on social media. Yeah.
It's okay if nobody calls in, because you and I have plenty to talk about.
Oh, no, I'm not worried about that. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, I know that you encourage me, and Sam does as well. I should have more of a plan, but I just don't do that. And, you know, I'm not as bright as I look, ladies and gentlemen. So, but what I'm saying is, for those that are getting ready to call in, I'm very excited about it. This is our first call-in show. And thank you. I must, honestly, Jennifer Diamond, thank you very much, because this was your idea. And, you volunteered, and I thank you so much, because it's so exciting. You know, you're my good friend, but it's also exciting when we're just sitting around talking and all of a sudden somebody knocks at your head. That's how I describe it to my friends. I'm like, oh, she's so cool. And we'll just be sitting around talking about whatever, and all of a sudden you kind of tilt your head a little bit.
We're usually sitting around talking about dirty jokes.
Dirty jokes or drinking or something, or never gossiping about anybody. But then all of a sudden you kind of go like this, and you're like, wait a minute, somebody's here.
That's cute.
Well, that's usually my mom. Okay. All right, so Sam, are we ready? Is anybody calling in so far, Sam? 323-203-0815.
Hello?
Well, if I guess somebody will be calling.
Hello?
Hello, ladies and
gentlemen. Caller meeting.
You all better be watching this dang show. I'm going to be real slow on your cocktails.
Wait a minute. Somebody's here.
That's cute.
What's that?
Hello?
Oh, hello, I'm sorry. I thank you, Sam. I didn't see that I can't hear the call. Who is this?
Got disconnected.
We got disconnected. Well, yeah, weird. Whoever that was calling in, I heard they hung up. Okay, well, let's try another caller. Come on, guys, 323-203-0815.
Gotta pay attention, Bob.
Yeah, well, there's so much on my screen going on. It doesn't. Oh, here it is. It's under the phone.
Hello.
That's why I didn't see it called. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello, caller. Who is this?
Jeffrey. Dennis. Jeffrey Dennis.
Hello, Jeffrey Dennis. Do you have a question for Jennifer?
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Hello.
I can hear you. There's a little time delay.
I haven't heard one word from you on the phone.
Huh.
Hello?
I don't know what to tell you there, sir. Jeffrey?
Well, I'd like to ask Jennifer if she has time for a reading. I'd like to know if I have any messages from the other side.
Can you hear that, Jennifer?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's a kind of a broad, that's a open-ended question. There's always people on the other side, but there is a woman coming through, an older woman that I'm guessing is either an aunt, and I know it sounds kind of generic, but there's a woman that's always around, and she kind of lives vicariously through him, but she wants him to get, what's his name, Jeffrey? Is that his?
Jeffrey Dennis, yeah.
Jeffrey Dennis. She is telling me that she wants him to get out and do more. Can you hear me, Jeffrey?
I think he can barely hear you, but she says she wants you to get out and do more, Jeffrey.
Yeah. So the message I'm getting is that he's not out and about much. He's more of a homebody, so to speak, or kind of keeps to himself. And this woman is telling him to get out more, get involved. So I think he might've hung up, but that's what I'm getting. If he calls back, there'll be
okay. Well, Jeffrey, what if you can you can if you couldn't hear it on the phone? I'm sure you can hear it because you're calling in. Jennifer says that the woman that's with you all the time is encouraging you to get out more and do more. And we'll try and hook you up with more questions with Jennifer the next time we're coming up soon. Just you know, if you know who you know, if you know me, send me an email.
I think
you
might have hung up, but. That's okay. What I'm getting.
Take a new call. Let's take a new call.
Back, there'll be
okay. Well, Jeffrey, what if you couldn't hear it on the phone? I'm sure you can hear it because you're calling in. Jennifer says that the woman that's with you all the time is encouraging you to get out more and do
okay.
More.
I'm listening to. I'm a little confused on what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your patience. As I said, this is my first call-in show with Jennifer Diamond in Fort Lauderdale. I'm getting a little bit of okay. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. So do we have another caller? Somebody hung up. Thanks for your patience, gang. No, I guess we don't have a caller. Somebody 323-203-0815. Jennifer, as I said, I'm not hearing. I'm seeing that acknowledge. So I understand. Can you see where Sam is telling me I'm not acknowledging them, but I can't hear them, Sam. I'm sorry, buddy.
Yes,
yeah, I didn't hear anything either.
Now we have
somebody hung up.
Hello.
Hello. Okay.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
No, I guess we don't have a caller.
Hello, caller. Can you hear me?
Jennifer, as I said, I'm not hearing. I'm seeing it.
Okay. What I'm getting is what I said about 30 seconds ago is the only thing that I can hear. How about you, Jen? Can you hear that?
I can hear the same thing you're hearing, but they're not hearing us. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, apparently we're having some sort of technical difficulty. I'm sure that Sam is working on it. All right, so let's see. Well, let's see. So what's going on in my head, Jen? Anything?
Oh, my God. Stress. You got to just take a deep breath, relax.
Yeah, I've been pretty stressed lately.
Well, there's nothing to be stressed about. You know, fear and stress is a wasted emotion. I always say that. You know, don't waste too much time on it. If you waste more than like a minute on it, that's too much time.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Can you hear me, caller? Okay. I'm acknowledging
the caller. They can't hear us. No, the problem is, Bob, they can't hear us. Which is,
they can't hear us.
Yeah, they can't hear us. So that's the issue.
You know,
okay. Sam's trying another call here. Let's see. Hello. For those of you that are calling in, we thank you so much. We're working on this. Hello, caller. Can you hear me? Those that are calling in, I appreciate it very much. We're having a little technical difficulty here.
It's all right. I'm just trying to get...
Now, can you hear me, caller?
Not on my phone.
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Well, anyway.
Anyways, Bob, so when you're coming to Florida, you got to get out of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I know. You know, I haven't been back there in so long. I lived there back and forth for so many years and loved it. And it's weird. It's sort of like going back to Nashville. You know, I lived on South Beach when it was so much fun. And it's changed so much from what my friends who still live there say that I want to kind of remember it the way it was. But that's kind of stupid.
Well, that's come and gone.
Well, anyway.
South Florida, like Fort Lauderdale, has completely changed in the last...
You got to get out of...
Hello. So I don't hear you, but could you tell me what's going to happen with my student loan?
It was great. When I first moved there, I wonder if it's even still there at the corner of Sunrise and A1A. I think it was the last... we're trying another call here, Jen. That was the last private home that you couldn't even see it from it was right on the beach. There was a big wrought iron fence around it.
Oh, it's still there, but there's a park around. If it's a house I think you're talking about, it's still there, but there's a park around it, Birch State Park.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, at least they didn't tear it down. It's like when I lived in Daney. I know we're trying for another call. Ladies and gentlemen, please keep trying. 323-203-0815. And, but yeah.
Have you ever heard of Lilydale? Lilydale's in New York, and it's a little... I don't want to say town. You pull in and there's like two or three streets of homes and it's all psychics.
Oh, no kidding. Hold that thought for 1 second. I'm getting a message from our producer, Sam, who says we may be having issues with the phones, obviously. So thank you guys for continuing to try. 323-203-0815. Do you think we should, Sam, continue to ask people to call in at this point? Are you working on it there?
I mean, probably not.
Probably not. Okay. Yeah. Well,
I mean, they can't, you know, there's issues. So, but
all right. Well, we're having issues with the phones, ladies and gentlemen. I guess we won't be continuing. We'll try this again. Gosh, I'm sorry. I know that you guys have been excited and I've been encouraging everybody to call in. We'll figure it out at some point. Maybe not today, but gosh, we thank you for your support. We're not going anywhere, but the call in issue, that thing is a little tight right now. So, okay. So Lilydale, it's a community of psychics, you say? In New
it's
York?
A community of psychics.
Hello. I hear no one responding to my answering of the phone, but
now I know this is Evelyn Sell.
I'm going to talk anyway and see if it comes on.
Yes. Okay.
I was calling to see about my student loans, which are close to being forgiven. Are they going to be forgiven or not?
It's not looking positive.
Did you hear that? She can't hear it.
She can't hear it, but maybe she can listen. So
I'm texting her right now because this is a personal friend of mine.
Yeah, student loans. I don't see the student loan thing being forgiven, even when that passed or that whole thing came out. It seemed a little odd. The first thing I got with that was that that was never going to go through. And now I think they've kind of reversed it. I haven't paid a whole lot of attention, but I mean, some people might get some help on it where it's not completely getting forgiven the total amount, but they might get some sort of like discount, you know, or, you know, get something off. But no, I know people that are in their 50s and they're still paying their student loans. So.
Well, so Evelyn, you can hear us. We can't hear you. But so, yeah. That's what Jennifer was just saying, is that some people are still paying them off. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to look good, huh, Jen? For Ev.
No, but I do see, but Evelyn should buy a lottery ticket. I see some little burst of luck that she's going to have.
Woo, did you hear that, Ev?
Little burst of luck. Cool.
That's but, cool.
No, so I was talking about the Lilydale. It's in New York. It's like in upstate New York, little like 30 minutes outside of Buffalo. And it's like a few streets of psychics and mediums. And it's very cool. There's also a place here in northern Florida. I think it's called Casadagua. It's the same thing. It's like a little psychic community and people love that stuff. Obviously.
Sure. Do you have any friends there? Or have you ever, obviously you visited.
I've been to the one in New York because it's like 45 minutes from my parents' house. So I went there and it was, you know, it was fun. It was interesting. It's interesting when I'm reading for psychics.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is when you guys are all together, when you're with another psychic or two, how does that affect? I mean, is there any kind of, and for example, would, if you're sitting with a friend who has the same clairvoyancy that you do, would you be able to notice things in your friend that and that they wouldn't be able to, you know, different things back and forth?
Friends or other psychics?
Other psychics. You know, if you're room with other psychics, you know.
There's, do you know on, it's on Overland in, is it Overland? No, I'm sorry. Westwood Boulevard, in between Olympic and Santa Monica Boulevard. You know that little stretch there?
Sure, absolutely.
So there's a nail salon I used to go to over there. And next door, I remember like these, I call them like the traveling gypsies or like charlatans that kind of show up. You know, they're the ones that, oh, you know, if you give me your watch or a ring, I can, you know, I can clear your energy, that type of stuff. So I was out one night with a couple friends of mine, and it was like nighttime though. We were driving by and they wanted to stop and get a reading. So we went in there, and oddly enough, the girl that was doing the reading, because I had seen the other women in there, you know, they were older, like I would say mid to late 60s, and they were the ones that were always doing the readings. But that night, it was like a Saturday night, we went in. It was myself and two friends of mine. And it was a girl that was giving me a reading. And she was, well, she gave my friend a reading first. She was like 20, 21 years old. She was young. And so she's giving him a reading. Then she gives me a reading. But there was such a big message that kept coming through to me. So I just started talking to her in the middle of my reading. And she was like, what? And you know, she's like, how do you know this? And my friend's like, well, she's psychic. And the girl was like so shocked, you know. But I just remember, and no, I don't ever talk about people's readings because it's private.
Sure.
But I just know that stuck out in my mind. And I've read for a lot of psychics over the years. But that stuck out in my mind because she was born into the family. So she was like fifth or sixth generation. But I kept getting this message from somebody that had passed on for her that wasn't her calling, that she was supposed to go to school and go in a regular career path. And the funny thing was, she apparently had applied for college behind her parents' back.
Kidding.
Yeah. And so that's why she was shocked that I was telling her what I was telling her. Because I didn't see her being a psychic, or that was her.
When I first moved to Los Angeles, I remember reading there were there were psychic wars. Can't remember the exact terminology. Fortune teller. You probably lived here then. It was 2004.
Yeah, that's why I moved there. 2003.
Okay, I moved here in 2004. As a matter of fact, August 4th will be my 19-year anniversary here in LA. Woo!
Wow.
Sorry, LA. But there were battles over territories. I remember reading. Evelyn, I know you keep texting me, but I don't know how to go to my phone and talk at the same time here. I'm sorry. I'll get with you as soon as the show's over. But they are gypsy tribes, because they used to come into wolf gangs. The fellas would come in, and they came in generationally. Like the guys that are more like my age in their late 50s, 60s, they would come in like usually on a Friday or Saturday night, and they'd all be all dressed up, trying, you know, like not when I say dressed up, like looking sharp, suits, ties, that sort of thing. And they were a really tight, I'm talking, you know, 10, 12, 15 guys that would travel together. And they used to buy cars. That was their thing, is they bought cars. And I guess, and they were open about it. Their wives were the ones that had the fortune telling locations with the neon psychic and that sort of thing around town.
Yeah.
So that was just interesting. And whenever somebody would pass in the tribe, they would all come in like a huge, and then there were the other ones. I don't know if you're familiar with these guys, the ones that are, it's the strangest thing. Not strange, intriguing. They come from, I don't know what the tribe is, but they're all younger. The women are all, well, that's what they're tribes. And the women are teeny tiny, waisted, petite. And the guys are big. Sorry about that. I hit my table. But it's just, you know, it's just an interesting thing about the cultures of the gypsies.
Yeah, I've dealt with a lot of psychics over the years, and especially when I wrote Top 50 Psychics and Mediums in the U.S.
Great book.
It's been, thank you, it's been my experience just in dealing with psychics for 30 years now, over 30 years, that the ones that are really have a real gift, most of them are through word of mouth. You don't really find a lot of them that are, you know, have storefronts that,
right, a shingle hanging.
Yeah, with the neon signs and stuff. I'm not to say some of those aren't good. It's just been my experience. I've never met any that way that were had any type of gift. Although I take that back. I did meet one in New York City like 25 years ago, and I still talk to her today. I haven't spoke to her in a few years, but she has somewhat of a gift, but that's rare. I mean, it's usually through word of mouth.
Well, like I said, you and I were friends for 6 years before I even knew that you were a psychic.
That was because
I never forget my first words. You mean you've been reading my pervy thoughts for 6 years and never told me? And you said, that's why I like you.
I mean, I see all sorts of stuff, you know, but I try to just, when I'm out, not reading, not working, doing this type of work, I try to live like everybody else, you know?
Sure.
Because it can be exhausting if you just keep yourself open 24/7, but sometimes
I mean, I know I've asked you this before, and hi Evelyn, thank you for continuing to listen. Thank you, Sam. Can you just like turn your brain off to where you can just, you know, how do you do that? I mean, to where you can say like, you know what, I'm off today. I'm sorry.
I said it took me a while to figure it out, and I had a psychic that I had met back in 1990, so a year after my car accident. And she was like, oh, you're psychic, and I'm going to show you how to work with that. And so over the course of a couple of years, she showed me how to kind of learn how to quiet your mind and tune things out and all that.
That's cool.
Yeah, sometimes.
Like, well, I mean, not, I want to say that's cool. It's fascinating, I should say, that she can help teach you to relax yourself or what, you know, however you handle it. I don't.
Well, sometimes though, I'll be out with people, dinner or whatever, and I'm talking to a stranger, and there's like a person on the other side that comes through so strong that sometimes I say something to them.
Like they need to know?
Yeah, but it's always a positive.
Yeah, and I'm sure that most of the time they're appreciative and a little stunned.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. But I see all sorts of stuff, but when it comes to readings for people, I try to keep it positive. There's no reason to relay somewhat of some negative message.
Negative news or negative thoughts, you know.
Yeah, but a lot of times I do relay messages from a person that was here that was either negative or not a good person when they were here in this life. And so sometimes the person that's here getting the message isn't always thrilled about it, but usually it ends up to be positive, you know, because they needed to hear an apology or something like that that they didn't get to hear when the person was alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
well, I'm sure that can help a lot of people, help them to rest a little easier, or, you know, when it comes to situations like that, to know that the person that they, like with my parents, for example, I always feel like there was nothing left unsaid. I mean, I miss them, but I don't feel.
It's a great thing. And, you know, you're fortunate because I have some friends like that, but most people, either there was fighting. A lot of times people come to me because there's fighting going on or there was things that were left unsaid. Or,
right.
You know, stuff like that. It makes me feel bad sometimes. Because when I read for people, I'm able to pick up their energy. So, like, even the people that I'm giving the message to, like, I can feel people's pain and suffering and fear and anxiety and all that. So that's why another reason why it can be, you know, it can be exhausting to be doing readings all the time.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, sometimes when I'm talking to you like this, my mind starts to race and I'm like, I wonder if she knows what I'm thinking at this moment. And then I go, no, I don't want to think that because I don't want to think I'm a kind of a, you know, a jerk or whatever. I just get.
No. Well, I mean, you know, it's like people say, oh, what are the lottery numbers? You know, it's not like I said, I choose to live my life like everybody else. So I don't want to be open and paying attention to what's going on in other people's heads. I use it obviously now in business, which I never used to in the past, but I use it now with the company I have with a partner of mine, and it's working out great, but it's all positive. You know, I believe that the gift I have is meant to be used in a positive way, not negative at all. And so, you know, I don't like to tap into people's thoughts without them asking for it, you know?
Well, that's it. You know, I mean, that's, I don't know how to you know, I guess I'm a little embarrassed to even bring it up because I know that you wouldn't be, it's like listening in on somebody's phone conversation or whatever. That's why, I mean, I have so many questions for you all the time that I don't want to, you know, about how you operate, how things work with you, but I don't want to be annoying about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, people will ask me questions all the time. I was at my brother's house here last night. He had a little get together with like 10.
Oh, your brother's in Lauderdale too?
Yeah. He lives here now from Manhattan. He moved here a couple of years ago.
Awesome.
And he had a bunch of people over. Most of them I've known for a few years now. And so I was talking to one group of people and the other group was listening, and his one friend was saying, wait, what are you talking about? Because people are always fascinated by psychic ability and mediumship and all that. And she was like, wait, you're a medium? And I'm like, yeah. And then she looks at my brother. She's like, Paul, why didn't you tell me that she's a psychic? And he goes, well, you know, I just let her talk about it. He goes, but believe me, it's been an eye opener. Because now that he lives here, we spend a lot of time together. He's like, I'm out with her all the time and she'll be talking to somebody in a bar and all of a sudden the person's crying. And, you know, like I needed to hear that. But that's really like that comes through to me a lot, I think, is that, see, you know.
That's what we had mentioned this before and no names mentioned, but, you know, mutual friend of ours. And his girlfriend, you know, you guys ran into each other in a bar that I was working in Beverly Hills, and you sat next to each other, and I introduced you guys, and you know, because you and she were really close with this one fellow, who passed away, but you didn't realize. And when you started talking to her, it was so beautiful, I thought, because she really needed to hear these things because we lost him so suddenly and so quickly.
Yeah, it was sad. I mean, he was a really good friend of mine, and it was sad.
But what you said to her, though, it was kind of neat because you both, it seemed like you were both, you know, he was coming through to you, but you were both getting some relief, you know, comfort. Comfort is more like that. Yeah, you made her feel a lot better.
He was interesting to me because, with the exception of my fiance that died in the car accident I was in years ago, that I, you know, that was part of my life, to see him after he passed away, that's all I knew when I became a medium and kind of was thrown into this world of having this ability. But our friend, when he passed away 2 years ago, right? I think it was 2 years ago in February. He was, so that when I was communicating with him and giving her the messages, it was interesting for me because that's really the first time ever for me that I was communicating with somebody that I knew. I'm used to talking to people on the other side that I don't know, you know, and I can describe a lot of times what they look like to the person, but to be able to communicate with a friend of mine, it was interesting. It was more shocking for me because it was kind of a first, you know, and he was coming through very clearly. And he was talking to me while I was relaying messages to her. So there was a lot more going on than what I was relaying. Actually, but yeah, it was interesting for me, you know.
Now, when you, for example, with my mother, you know, the first time that my mom came through was when we were doing the first show together. It was for somebody like our friend, you know, because apparently, when somebody passes on, they're the average? Do they have an average age, or do they appear to be older to you, or do they?
No, they always come across to me how they were here.
Okay.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to relay a correct message if they were older or younger or looked different. So they always come through just like they were here. That way, I can.
I mean, no. What I mean is, are they a certain age? Like you know, my belief in you know going to heaven. You know, people are supposed to, you know, everybody's like around 30, something like that.
No,
it's not like that.
No, because we all have different set goals here when we're born into this lifetime. Some of us leave here when we're a month old. Some of us leave here when we're 98 years old. So we've got certain things to accomplish, you know. And I get asked the question all the time about children. Why do children have to leave so early? But we all have different paths that we, you know, things that we have to accomplish here. So age is, it's any age, depends on the person. Sometimes people stay a little bit longer because of either circumstances or relationships, spouses, children. They'll stay a little bit longer than they were supposed to. And then, of course, you have people that unfortunately go sooner than they're supposed to through suicide. That's always a difficult thing. I've read 3 different people in the last 2 months that left due to suicide. So that's interesting.
I wonder if they would come through to you with regret, or is that something, or regret, or they want to apologize to the people they left behind, or
two of them were just a lot of struggles that they never dealt with or never dealt with when they were here, and also were not able to. Oddly enough, it was 3 men. It was all 3 of the people that I'm thinking of. Well, it's 2 recently and then 1 from a few years ago, but they're all men. 2 of them, just a lot of struggles that they went through that they weren't able to reach out and get the help that they needed. And then the person from years ago, that was actually somebody I knew. And that was odd for me because it was as if he was stuck in a kind of holding pattern. The other 2 weren't. I was able to fully communicate with him. But the first one, I was able to communicate, but not, but in a different way. You know, they were.
Holding pattern, do you mean like not being able to cross over?
Definitely not crossed over, just in a room, which I'd never seen that before, but just kind of like in a plain room, didn't realize, you know, where they were at.
Wow.
So that was interesting. And 2, a lot of times they have to come back. You can choose to go to other dimensions, not to get into that whole thing, but you don't get to just leave this place like that. You have to come back, or you have to, you know, finish your, you know, stuff that's left undone, so to speak.
Question for you that I just popped into my head because I got a million of them. After my mother passed away, a friend of mine who, unfortunately, we had a little bit of a huge falling out. We don't speak anymore. But this friend of mine, we were in the family home. We had been out drinking and partying. And we came home, and it was probably 2 o'clock in the morning. And we're sitting in the den, just laughing and talking. And all of a sudden, and this is probably 4 or 5 months after mother had passed, it sounded like somebody threw a million pots and pans down the staircase. And it's the first time, and I don't know if maybe you can vibe on anything like that. It was hilarious, actually. I mean, it was terrifying at the moment. And I didn't know if it was like a message from my mom saying, y'all need not be out there drinking and driving or something like that. Or,
but you were with your friend at the time? Or
we were sitting in the den of the house where my mother passed away. We had been out, you know, socializing. We came home. We were sitting there talking. It was really like in the early hours, 2, 3 in the morning. And it sounded like somebody threw 100 pots and pans. Like, you know, if you pull something out of your drawer and it falls on the floor, you know, the kitchen floor or whatever. And it was loud, and it was a few seconds, like, you know, 2 or 3 seconds. And then of course, upon investigation, there was nothing there. Just, you know, because we laugh about it, but I didn't know if it was anything.
So the person that you were sitting there with when that happened, it's not somebody you still talk to.
Not at all.
So do you... Because the first thing that I got was it had to do with him, nothing to do with you.
It had to do with the other person in the room.
Yes, it had to do with him and just things that he was doing that he shouldn't have been doing. It was more to get his attention. You just happened to be sitting there.
That's interesting. Well, it's a she, and unfortunately, we don't speak at all anymore. But so I can't call them and say, "Hey, then."
That's all.
But at any rate, yeah.
What was your? You had another question.
Well, the same person was. See, now I want. I'm not prepared for this. There was a cruise ship that in 1934, I believe it was, burned, and it listed on the shore in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And it's a huge story. I can't remember the name of the ship, but this particular person is convinced that she and I were on this ship together. Not together, but we were both passengers on it. And I can't remember the name, but the story is that I think the radio operator of the ship wanted to appear to be a hero. So he set a fire or something like that. You are getting anything on this?
No.
Okay. I'll have to look into it, and we'll.
I don't want you to make stuff up, but nothing.
Okay. Well, because it's a really interesting story, and the pictures online that you can go and see of this ship on its side, you know, all burnt out because it floated right up to the beach in Asbury Park, you know, like near the boardwalk kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's real neat. I'll look it up and send it to you. But I believe that we have 4 minutes left. I want to be as on point as I can for Sam. So is there anything else we can wrap up in the next few minutes?
It's up to you.
Well, of course it's up to me, but I'm sorry, you guys. I am so technologically challenged, it's embarrassing. As you all know, I mentioned last week I got my first iPhone, and it hasn't stopped, and I don't know whether to go to it or this way or this way or this way.
It's your homework, Bob, for the next few weeks.
Well, I've never. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to find a place where I can take a class and study the phone.
Right,
as a matter of fact, I'm going back to the Spectrum store this afternoon with my old Android and have them continue to move the information over. But I guess let's just wrap this up, Jen. And if it's okay with you, we'll work on the call-in part, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good to me.
I love you.
Love you too, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming back on. And thank you all for listening. Thank you guys that tried to call in. I'm sure that we will. Now I'm telling we still have about 5 minutes. Now we're okay, well, let's keep going. I feel rather foolish today right now.
Three.
Sam says five. I'm timing it from four differently. See, this is it, Sam, is that I want to make sure that I don't go over. So now I'm at a loss for words and feeling rather foolish. So
you're never at a loss for words.
I know. What's up with that?
My phone says 12:48. Yours says 12:49.
And then
get rid of the fear and anxiety, Bob.
I know. Well, you know, I need to go back to drugs and alcohol. Just kidding, ladies and gentlemen. That's a joke that I make with people about the state of the world whenever something happens, you know, and politically or environmentally or whatever. I look right at my customer and I'm like, I'm going straight back to drugs and alcohol. My motto is, if you have an airbag, have another.
You don't drink at all?
Oh, hell yeah. But I'm a binge drinker now. Like, because, well, in all the years, I've been in the nightclub business for 40 years, you know, food and beverage. And I was a bartender in Miami in the 80s. And let me tell you, the movie Scarface is entirely accurate, entirely. And I worked in clubs just like that, to where the Al Pacino characters would come in and they'd have a bankroll as big as your fist and beautiful women on each arm. And they'd be ordering the Jeroboams of, Perrier Jouet and just throwing money at you. And so we drank every night. That was just what we did, you know, after, you know, because we worked until 5 a.m. So we drank and drank and drank and drank. And now it's like smoking. I can't drink without smoking cigarettes, but I can go without either for months at a time without even thinking about it. But if, like, say you were having a big party on a Saturday night and I knew it was going to be a blast, I would have to have 2 beers on Thursday, a gin and tonic or two on Friday. So when I went to your party, I wouldn't fall flat on my face after my first drink. So it's weird. I call myself a binge drinker, you know.
I have a high tolerance for alcohol, considering my size. Well, you know, I can drink 3-4 martinis.
Yep, you can, but you always have your composure.
Well, maybe
all right,
five.
Now It's time. So you have been so patient. You're the best. Thank you for being so patient with my rambling today. I love you. And thank you, Sam. And thank you all. We're going to pick this up again. We're going to do our call in. We're going to work it out. Thank you for listening to The Bob Dean Show only on LA Talk Radio. Yay. And I'll talk to you this week, Jenny. Oh, and let me know, because I know when you're – I know I'm hurrying up, Sam. When you're in LA, you've always got a bunch of stuff to do, so let's try and pencil something in, okay?
That's good.
Love it. Thank you all for watching and listening very, very much. Thank you, Sam. And everybody have a great day.
Too.
You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.